Historical note. Alfred, famously, is the only monarch in English history to be accorded the honour of being called the Great. And this novel, with the ones that follow, will try to show why he gained that title. I do not want to anticipate those other novels, but broadly, Alfred was responsible for saving Wessex, and ultimately English society from the Danish assaults. And his son Edward, daughter Æthelflæd, and grandson Æthelstan finished what he began to create, which was, for the first time, a political entity they called Englaland. I intend Uhtred to be involved in the whole story. But the tale begins with Alfred, who was indeed a very pious man and frequently sick. A recent theory suggests that he suffered from Crohn's disease, which causes acute abdominal pains, and from chronic piles, details we can glean from a book written by a man who knew him very well, Bishop Asser, who came into Alfred's life after the events described in this novel. Currently, there is a debate whether Bishop Asser did write that life, or whether it was forged 100 years after Alfred's death, and I am utterly unqualified to judge the arguments of the contending academics. But even if it is a forgery, it contains much that has the smack of truth, suggesting that whoever wrote it knew a great deal about Alfred. The author, to be sure, wanted to present Alfred in a glowing light, as warrior, scholar, and Christian. But he does not shy away from his hero's youthful sins. Alfred, he tells us, was unable to abstain from carnal desire, until God generously made him sick enough to resist temptation. Whether Alfred did have an illegitimate son, Osfath, is debatable, but it seems very possible. The biggest challenge Alfred faced was an invasion of England by the Danes. Some readers may be disappointed that those Danes are called Northmen or Pagans in the novel, but are rarely described as Vikings. In this, I follow the early English writers, who suffered from the Danes and who rarely used the word Viking, which anyway describes an activity rather than a people or a tribe. To go Viking meant to go raiding, and the Danes who fought against England in the 9th century, though undoubtedly raiders, were preeminently invaders and occupiers. Much fanciful imagery has been attached to them, chief of which are the horned helmet, the berserker, and the ghastly execution called the spread eagle, by which a victim's ribs were splayed apart to expose the lungs and heart. That seems to have been a later invention, as does the existence of the berserker, the crazed naked warrior who attacked in a mad frenzy. Doubtless there were insanely frenzied warriors, but there is no evidence that lunatic nudists made regular appearances on the battlefield. The same is true of the horned helmet, for which there is not a scrap of contemporary evidence. Viking warriors were much too sensible to place a pair of protuberances on their helmets, so ideally positioned as to enable an enemy to knock the helmet off. It is a pity to abandon the iconic horned helmets, but alas, they did not exist. The assault on the church by the Danes is well recorded. The invaders were not Christians and saw no reason to spare churches, monasteries, and nunneries from their attacks, especially as those places often contained considerable treasures. Whether the concerted attack on the northern monastic houses happened is debatable. The source is extremely late, a 13th century chronicle written by Roger of Wendover, but what is certain is that many bishoprics and monasteries did disappear during the Danish assault, and that assault was not a great raid, but a deliberate attempt to eradicate English society and replace it with a Danish state. Ivar the Boneless, Ubba, Halfdan, Guthrum, the various kings, Alfred's nephew Æthelwold, Ealdorman Odda, and the ealdorman whose names began with A, a vanished letter called the Ash, all existed. Alfred should properly be spelt Aelfred, but I preferred the usage by which he is known today. It is not certain how King Edmund of East Anglia died, though he was certainly killed by the Danes, and in one ancient version, the future saint was indeed riddled with arrows like Saint Sebastian.